The Good Book Club on Spirit Mornings. The goal is to get to heaven, and the Bible can help you get there.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Listen now as we open the Good Book.
The first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3.
But I, brethren, could not address you as spiritual men, but as men of the flesh, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even yet you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving like ordinary men? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely men? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are equal, and each shall receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. Let each man take care how he builds upon it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and that temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So let no one boast of men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's.
Truth and Life Dramatized Audio Bible Version of 1 Corinthians, the entire chapter 3. The Good Book Club is on the air. The Bibles are open and we're ready to go. I'm Bruce McGregor along with Jen Brown. And Jen joining us to discuss these verses today. We're glad to have back with us the dynamic deacon, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Welcome, Deacon.
Thank you. Good morning and thanks for having me back again.
Oh, we're going to tackle the overall dissension in the Corinth church, which is something big to tackle, but he really opens things up right at the beginning. He calls them men of the flesh, and then he just says, you're just baby men. You're just baby men.
Yeah, he calls them men of the flesh. So basically what he's saying is that they're immature Christians. They're spiritual infants that lack a mature faith, because they're enslaved by the thinking of the world. They're playing favorites. You know, imagine if we did that. Well, I'm a disciple of Bishop Sample. Well, now I'm a disciple of Archbishop Gregory. I'm a disciple of Archbishop Nauman or whatever, you know, where everybody's taking sides, you know, and bragging that they're a disciple of this bishop or that bishop. And what Paul is saying is that real Christian maturity produces the fruits of love and unity, which he talks about in Galatians and Colossians. And so ministry is not primarily, is primarily the work of God and not of individuals. God is working through individuals so that the fruits of that mature Christian love can bear fruit. And so he's, you know, Paul is just reminding that teachers of the faithful God have to recognize that God alone gives life and growth to the church and that God will test the laborer's work at the last judgment. So some important principles there.
Right, and the faithful, that's us, you and I, everyone, can't overestimate the importance and esteem of their teachers.
Yeah, so, you know, Paul goes on to talk about how we're servants and fellow workers with the Lord. And he illustrates that point by giving two examples for most of the chapter. He gives an example from agriculture, and he gives an example from architecture. Right? And so the agricultural example is one that that we're very familiar with, right? I mean, that should be a verse, to me, is the key to evangelization. So Paul establishes a church at Corinth. We saw that in Acts chapter 18. And our Protestant brothers and sisters call that church planting. You know, I planted a church here, I planted a church there, using the agricultural analogy. And he says he calls them servants, which is diakonoi, which is the biblical image for those who convey God's message, which is what deacons do today, right? Deacons are ministers of evangelization, which is why even at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, a deacon is the one that reads the gospel, even if the Pope says Mass.
Right.
And then he talks about Apollos provided the spiritual growth, also in Acts chapter 18. So he's talking about, I planted and Apollos watered, but it was God that gave the yield. And that is really the key to effective evangelization. We're sowers planting seeds. We think that, you know, so how many times have you heard a Catholic say, oh, I converted this person. You ain't converting nobody. we're not that good.
Yeah.
See, what Paul is saying is exactly right. Yeah, we may have thrown the seed. Remember, Jesus talked about the parable of the sower.
Mm-hmm.
The sower's out there, the farmer's out there sowing seeds, throwing seeds. But when that seed lands, maybe the apostles in the church will give a little water, but it's God that gives it sunlight and fertilizer and allows that seed of faith to grow in a person's heart. We can't do that. Only God can do that. And that's what Paul is reminding them of.
So along the same lines, Deacon Harold, as we are sowers planting seeds, there's an example of architecture, a foundation is laid.
Yeah, so what Paul is doing something actually very interesting here. Remember, he was a Pharisee. So he's very, very familiar with the Old Testament. So Old Testament architects were gifted by the Spirit with wisdom and technical prowess, for example, in the building of the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 35, or the building of the Jewish temple in 1 Kings chapter 4. Now, King Solomon was the perfect example of the master builder. For that, when he laid what's called the Evan Shetiyah, or the foundation stone of the temple, the foundation stone is that upon which the Ark of the Covenant rested inside of the temple. So King Solomon was the master builder, because he built the first temple, and he was also the master teacher. Remember, he's considered the wisest king in the history of Israel. He authored the book of Proverbs and Wisdom, right? Two of what we call the wisdom books that are part of the Ketuvim, the writings. So Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Wisdom, those books. So Paul sees himself as a kind of spiritual Solomon, building the temple not of stone, but of God's people, the church, and proclaims the greater wisdom, even greater than the wisdom of Solomon, is the wisdom of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which he proclaims to the Gentile nations.
Spirit Morning, Spirit Catholic Radio Network, Bruce McGregor, Jen Brown, it's the Good Book Club, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers with us. And Deacon, verse 12, kind of continuing this building theme, Paul lists some materials to build with, from the least valuable to expensive and durable ones to ones that are cheap and even flammable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Gold, silver, and precious stones, of course. And then he says wood, hay, and straw. And he's drawing an analogy there of the kinds of things that you use to build houses or to build your life with the Lord. You want the things that you build with, your life with the Lord, to be expensive and durable. Things that are going to last, not cheap and flammable, that are going to burn and be destroyed. And actually, this is one of the key verses that we use. Verses 13 to 15 is one of the foundational verses that we use for the church's teaching on purgatory. That the works are going to be tested. And you can make it, it can be tried through fire, and some works are going to survive and some are going to be burnt up and destroyed. So what we're saying that we're all called to build up the church in love, which he talks about extensively in Ephesians chapter 4. But some workers whose work is shoddy and imperfect will pass through God's fiery judgment. So fire purifies like gold in a furnace. So I was talking to a miner once in Pennsylvania. An older guy, like in his 80s, and he was mining back in the days before they had all these machines and computers and refining techniques. And I said, before they had all the machines, how'd you know when the gold was pure? You know, he said, when you can see your reflection in the gold, then you know the gold was pure. Mm. And that's what God wants. God, what purgatory is, God wants to refine us and remove all of the impurities so that he can see his reflection in us, right? He can go back to that original image in Genesis of being made in the image and likeness of God. And this idea of fire purifying, we see that in Sirach, in Isaiah, in Zechariah. But Paul also says that if we could be, if our works are imperfect, we'll be burned up, right? So that's hell, or we'll become refined and perfected, which is heaven. And so again, that's one of the foundational verses for the church's teaching on purgatory, which the catechism says, of course, is a purification that we need to achieve holiness before we enter into heaven. Because remember, the book of Revelation says that nothing impure can ever enter heaven. Mm. And so sometimes we die. Yes, we may have received, the last rites and the eternal punishment of sin is removed, but there's still what's called the temporal or the earthly effects of sin, the attachment to things that needs to be purified before we can stand before God face to face with him in heaven.
Something that we need to be reminded of a lot, and I think so many people, because the secular world wants to attack us all the time with other things, is we need to be reminded that we are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in us. And it's so easy to forget that. You are God's temple, verse 16, Deacon Harold.
Yeah, so remember, the temple had not yet been destroyed. Paul's writing here probably in the 50s A.D., and the temple was not destroyed till 70 A.D. So when he's writing this, the people would still have the temple in their mind. But for Paul, the stone sanctuary of the Old Testament was replaced by the living body of Christ. Remember, he's probably being reminded of Christ's words, you know, that I'm sure that was told him by the apostles, when Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will build it up. And remember, John goes on to say he was talking about the temple of his body, not the actual physical temple. So the word body in Paul's theology, not just here in Corinthians, but in the other books that he writes as well, not just 1 Corinthians, he's talking about the body being individual Christians that he's talking about here. The local church and also the universal church, which talks about in Ephesians, about building up that body of Christ. And actually, which he also talks about later in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as well. So, yes, yeah, so we are God's temple now, built of living stones, which St. Peter also talks about in his letter.
Right. And Deacon, we can also kind of impress the fact that there's kind of a woe here that Paul is talking about if anyone destroys God's temple.
Yeah, so interesting warning here. And it's very, I think this reading today is actually fits in perfectly with this time of year.
Yeah.
We've been hearing in the Gospels on Sundays kind of these ominous teachings by Jesus, very, very strong teachings about how our actions in this life have eternal consequences, right? Like last Sunday, we heard of the wise and the foolish virgins, you know, that we always have to prepare for the coming of the Lord in our life. So we can be like the wise virgins who had their lamps trimmed and ready. So when the master came back, they were ready to enter the wedding feast, while the others were like, oh, we have stuff to do now. And when they finally got to the wedding feast, the door was locked, and the Lord said, I don't know you. So St. Paul's alluding to that here. So he's talking about if we're God's temple, the heavenly reward are for those who are careful builders of God's temple, those who build up and strengthen the body of Christ, the people of God. Purgatory for the careless builders. You're building, but we make mistakes. We're not perfect, right?
Yeah.
And so the purgatory is there for the careless builders, but then there's also the destructive builders, those who are actively trying to destroy the people of God, trying to destroy the body of Christ. And we see so much of that going on in our world today. And he's warning us, again, there are eternal consequences for the actions that we take today in our lives.
Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network. We're blessed to have Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and we're going to round out the last couple of verses, 19 and 20, and Paul talks about the wise.
Yeah, so what Paul's doing here, he's quoting from Job chapter 5, verse 13. We say he takes the wise in their own craftiness. This is what the full verse says. He takes the wise in their own craftiness, and the schemes of the wily are brought to a quick end. So in other words, God is going to, if men don't take care of it, God's going to take care of it in the end. In Psalm 94:11, the Lord knows the thoughts of men. He knows that there are no more than a breath. Mm. So he's cautioning us for those who think that we are wise, that we know better than God. God, be careful here. You know, we're not God. That's the lie that Satan said in Genesis 3. You will be like God. And that was the lie that our first parents fell for. And that's the lie that so many of us are falling for today. So Paul is trying to bring us back, again, using the scriptures, using, again, Job and the Psalms, using the books that impart wisdom. These would have been called maskil. Verses by the Jewish people. That means maskil means it's verses that are enlightened and that impart wisdom. And that's exactly what Paul is trying to do here, reminding us that God is the Lord, that we're not the Lord. Yes, we're the teachers. You know, he's kind of bringing it back from what he said in the beginning. Yes, we're the teachers, but it's God is the one that's that his love and his mercy and his truth is shining forth through the teaching. That's what we need to focus on. The words of God, where men are the instruments of God's word and God's teaching.
Spirit Morning, Spirit Catholic Radio Network. Excuse me. Thanks to Deacon Harold Burke Sivers for being with us today on the Good Book Club. Deacon, could we ask you to impart a diaconal blessing for our day?
Sure. May Almighty God bless you and keep you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. The Good Book Club can be heard Monday through Friday on Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network a little after 8 o'clock until 8:30.